Well, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Good. I know you guys are. Yes, exciting. Everybody else doing all right? Sure? Yes, there I am. Good. Someone's actually answered. Good, good. And Jesus welcomes every one of you here this morning. He's here with us. You know, even though he's not physically here, his presence is here and he is here with us. Enjoying the weather? Everybody says no. No, I was going to spend yesterday cleaning the yard, and I think God had other plans. I was going to clean the yard, get it cleaned up, and then I started snowing, went into the house, and I had this prepared. I didn't change it like to a new sermon, so don't worry. But I got this little tap. Edit. So I spent all yesterday editing what I wanted to speak on today. And then I usually go out into the shed, and I yell at my tools to see what it sounds like. And so hopefully what the words that God placed on my heart will come through. So I'm going to look at the importance of being a Christian. And we started this series back in March, middle of March, and we discovered there's a lot of things involved, and there's more things to come as well. If you are a Christian, you are reborn. That person reborn. You experienced a new creation that led to a new life, I hope. Right? Hopefully you didn't drag your old life with you. You belong to the Lord. You're God's child. And you are to live as a pilgrim. How's a pilgrim to live? When I think of pilgrim, I think of somebody carrying a knapsack and a tent. But yet for some of us, we live in this world as if we're going to make this our home. But our home is where? In heaven. We have a place for us there. Let's not forget that. We are to live by faith, not by sight. We're to be trusting in Jesus Christ. We are called to be faithful and trustworthy servants as we journey through this life. And I know this life is not easy. It gives us some real good whammies once in a while. Knocks us off our feet. But still, Jesus is there with us, walking with us. Another important fact about being a Christian involves the whole area of sanctification. For some of us, we're like, scary word? Does some of you know what it means? A while back, and it's been kind of bothers me, is there was a kind of a movement within the church years back where big words like this, you were trying to figure out how to make them real small. So you basically moved them. You taught it differently. You don't use sanctification, glorification, redemption, all these big words. You tried to make them real small. I think it's really taken away a lot of who we are and what we are to teach. Sanctification. There are also other words related to that. Do anybody know what they are? Sanctified, consecration, holiness, saint. They basically all mean the same. To make holy, to set apart for a special purpose. And the process of being made holy results in daily lifestyle changes. Every day, God will be changing you. The more we draw closer to Him and walk deeper with Him, He will reveal to us those areas in our life that need to be cleaned up, removed, and left. God has called every Christian to live a life of holiness, and there are no exceptions to that call. It's not only for pastors, or for elders, or a few super missionaries, or Sunday school teachers. Every Christian, regardless of your financial status, your education, if you're popular or unknown, are you a mechanic, truck driver, stay-at-home mom, oil field worker, carpenter, whatever you are, you're called to be holy. And as we shall see, this pertains to both our standing before God and our conduct before God. Thus, a Christian is consecrated to God. We're set apart to Him. And let's begin by looking at the process of sanctification. To begin with, we are sanctified. And then whenever the subject of sanctification is talked about, it's met with a variety of reactions, because there are serious errors within the teaching of sanctification. I'm not going to get into those. I'll guarantee that somebody's going to come and talk to me later on and ask questions. That's good. However, sanctification occurs at the very moment of your Christian life. At the point of your conversion, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ, you were sanctified. Sanctification is a journey that requires an entire lifetime. And its completion is done the moment you pass from this life into the presence of Jesus, whether in death or when you hear the trumpet sound. And then we enter into another realm. And there's also those who believe in the concept of entire sanctification. Once saved, entirely sanctified. Even suggesting once sanctified, Christians can no longer sin. And of course, this is where we get this abuse of a grace from. All right. However, we know that this is not true, for God's word says, if we say we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. So here we find that we're all going to sin from time to time. All of us are. And I want to look at, in Corinthians actually, I'm going to look at the church that was there. And if we were to take time and read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you will find a very dysfunctional church. Very dysfunctional church. However, they were sanctified in Christ. In chapter 1 of verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, it says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So we read that they were sanctified. Christians sanctified. And then over in chapter 6, verse 11, we find these words, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And hopefully you noticed the words, have been and were, which indicates an event that took place in the past. Yet many of these Christians at Corinth were still infants in Christ. Very dysfunctional church. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, and take notice of some of the things about these early Christians. And when we read this, you're going to discover that maybe some churches today act just like they did. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when I, that is the Apostle Paul, was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to mature Christians. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to the world. So here they were living as if they still belonged to the world. Or as though you were infants in the Christian life, still hadn't grown up yet. I had to feed you with milk and not solid food because you could not handle anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your own sinful desires. You are jealous of one another, and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your own desires? You're acting like a people who don't belong to the Lord. Quite a church, eh? Quite a church. But yet, sanctified in Christ. Which means that sanctification is a process. Not once saved and entirely sanctified. And sanctification is not something that comes and goes. It's not dependent on our actions or our feelings. Sanctification is our position in Christ. It's how God sees us, holy, set apart. And it's hard for us who wrestle with sin. How many of you wrestled with sin this week? Yes, some of us are sitting on our hands because we don't want to lift them up. But even I have. Don't worry. We all have in some way. Sometimes in thought, sometimes in words, sometimes in actions, in deeds. And we also give into temptation from time to time, don't we? How many struggle this week? Yes, we all struggle with it. And it's very hard to think that we are sanctified, especially when we serve a holy God. a God who knows everything about us, inside and out. However, this is the amazing thing about God's grace. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are clothed in his righteousness. And when God looks at us, what does he see? He sees the pure, spotless robes of Jesus on us. Amazing, isn't it? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. And take notice of the word saints. Well, I think that needs to be clarified. What does that really mean? We find that in that it says to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Now, the word is not reserved for those who are super religious and have died, someone like Mother Teresa, or a few chosen Christians. The word saint means set apart ones. Saint means devoted, consecrated, pure, holy, to set apart. You know what that means? In God's eyes, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are a saint. Some of us might think we are in certain ways, but we are saints. In the Apostle Paul's letters, all the believers were called saints. If we quickly look at Romans 1:7, it says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. We are called. That's a big responsibility that comes with it. In Philippians 1:1, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:2 says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. From the youngest to the oldest, to the followers, to the leaders, we are called by one name that fits us all, saints. We're set apart ones. We are living, vibrant witnesses of Jesus, set apart to a life of holiness and service to him. Also, too, we are being sanctified. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This reverse reminds us that sanctification is a process. Our being set apart for his service is the ultimate goal of God. Thus, as Christians, we are to pursue sanctification. In fact, that's what Hebrews 12:14 says. It says, pursue peace with all people. Then it says, and the sanctification which no one will see the Lord. So what does pursue mean? What does it mean? It means to seek to accomplish what has been given to you. You're running a race, you finish it. You're giving a job to do, you finish it. And you're to do it with earnestness and diligence. With all that you have. Sanctification must be pursued. Without it, we will not see the Lord. And that truth should motivate us to pursue sanctification, not just now for the moment, but throughout our life. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, dear friends, purify yourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Contaminating. I looked up that word. I had to look it up. I had to figure out what that meant. It means to smear with mud or filth. So, I can just take, say, a garage or a mechanic shop. Got greasy hands. Nice new shirt. That's what it means. Is that shirt any good anymore? It's finished. That's what the word means, contaminated. All right? To obey God requires purification, which means separation from everything that contaminates. Anything that smears us or makes us filthy, we're to remove it and get rid of it. And the reason is because God is holy, and we serve a God who is holy. We are commanded to be holy in our conduct. In fact, in 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, it says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do. Not just some things, but everything you do. Just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. For he himself has said, 'You must be holy because I am holy.'" There's only one who's truly holy, and that is God himself. He is the true source of holiness. And if we are to be holy, we must recognize that. We must know Jesus, love him, obey him. We must walk in fellowship with him, and we must be holy in all that we do, everything. We are to become more and more like Christ, and we are to live as he lived. And as we live in the complete presence of our Heavenly Father, the holiness of Christ's presence and power will shine forth from our lives. It will flow from us, and people will take notice of whom we serve. Like I said, never forget, we are continually in the presence of God every moment of every day. As Christians, God has called us to be holy, set apart, and sanctified. We're to pursue holiness is to be the goal of our lives, especially in a world that is filled with darkness, a world that is filthy and dirty morally. We're called to be holy. To help us in this goal, consider the process of sanctification. Sanctification, let's look at it, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:16 says, "To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." This verse's meaning is this: we are to go into our little worlds, our places of work, our places that we interact with, and proclaim the gospel. And we do, the Holy Spirit will prepare people to come to him. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, we ought always to thank God, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Did you notice the order? Sanctification through the work of the Holy Spirit, then belief. We must remember, when we go out and present the gospel, it is the Holy Spirit who works in the hearts and minds of those that we come in contact with. He is the one that prepares them to receive the gospel that we are speaking about. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Washed, sanctified, and justified. So God's word is applied to the conscience and cleansing, for cleansing. The Holy Spirit is the one that arouses those we talk to. And we are to go and present the gospel to a world that needs Christ. He was instrumental in our spiritual journey, in yours and mine, when we became believers. Remember, he is still with us. And that's the amazing thing about this journey. We're not alone. For the Father is with us, Jesus is with us, and the Holy Spirit is with us. No matter how much we struggle, they're there with us. In Titus 3, it says, "He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And since God lives in us by his Spirit, we're to live lives of holiness, which means we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. Also, too, I want to look at sanctification by the blood of Christ. In a letter to the Hebrews, we are told that Jesus went to the cross and offered one sacrifice for sin, a sacrifice that never has to be repeated again. Our Savior, by one offering, settled the question of our sin, and no other sin offering will ever be needed again. He has taken his place now, which is at the right hand of the Father, having accomplished the will of the Father instead of the question of sin. Look what Hebrews 10:10 says. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Never has to be repeated again. And we who trust Christ are now set apart to God. We no longer belong to the world. We are his beloved children, redeemed to him by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10:14, we find this remarkable statement. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. We are in Christ, stand before God, sanctified because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Justification, let's look at it by the work of God's word. In John 17, we read Jesus' prayer to the Father. And I find this prayer so amazing. Even though his disciples are there, he's not praying just for them. When Jesus is praying, he's looking forward to today, to you and to me. He says these words in verse 17, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. As for their sake, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in the truth. So we who have been sanctified by the blood of Christ, set apart to God because of the finished work of Christ, we're now called daily to live pure and holy lives. Lives that are being separated from the stuff that spoils and contaminates us and stains us. And how do we do that? Through his word. Through his word. Ephesians 5 says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Like I said, there are times you and I sin. But we're so thankful that we can come to our Father and ask for forgiveness. Just like our children, they make a mistake. Some of them try to hide it. But some of them did come and say, you know what, this is what I did. And we dealt with it. Christ is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's word is the one that helps us. God's word is the agent that God uses to conform us to Christ-likeness. Psalms 119:9 says, how can a person keep their way pure? By living according to God's word. Our desire is to live holy, sanctified lives, and we must allow the Holy Spirit to do his work through the word of God. So how much do you know of God's word? Do you study it? Do you meditate on it? Do you read it? Do you apply it to your everyday lives, the situations that you're in? Let's close, shall we? When you think of sanctification, always think of separation. Because we are called and set apart unto God. We're set apart by the work of the Holy Spirit. We're set apart eternally by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us. Every day we are being cleansed and separated from the stuff that belongs to our old life and is contrary to the word and will of God. Every day, every day, every day. And as we learn his will through his word and walk in obedience to it, we learn to live what it means to be sanctified, to be separated. Not easy in a world in which we live. I want to read 2 Corinthians 7:1 again. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So today, let's purify ourselves from those things that contaminate us. not just our body, but our spirit as well. Let's pray. Father, I know there's a lot more that can be said on this topic. But Father, I just pray that the words spoken today are words that we all need to hear. That we are consecrated to you, set apart. We are to live lives of holiness. And as we prepare ourselves for communion, remind us again, Father, of that great sacrifice, that your Son Jesus laid down his life for us once and never has to be repeated again. Teach us to separate ourselves from those things of our former life. Press upon us that this life is a pilgrimage, a journey, and that we are moving on to a new place, a place in glory. In thy name,